Our scripture today is Matthew chapter 2. And the title of the sermon is The Wise Response to God's Revealing His Son. And we'll have prayer. Our Lord and our God, we do pray that the rule of Jesus would be from shore to shore, and that he would come and reign in our hearts as a king that he truly is. And we would ask, Lord, today for the gospel to be like a seed planted in our hearts to bring forth a great harvest to you. And we would ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts would be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today we're looking at the Feast of Epiphany, which occurs 12 days after Christmas, calendar date of January 6th, and maybe you've seen this from time to time. It's not been a feast day that's been much emphasized in Presbyterian Reformed traditions in my lifetime and the churches that I've been around, but as we've been sticking with the church calendar, I think it's profitable to understand this concept. The word epiphany is a Greek word, and it has the idea of an appearing. It's the thought that God showed that his son was born in this world by means of this star that the wise men saw, and because of that star, they knew the king had been born. Now, in our way of celebrating Christmas, we often in our pageants bring the shepherds and the wise men together almost at the same time, which is fine as for the purposes of what we're doing it. But as we read through the scriptures, it's important to understand that the wise men arrived much later than the shepherds. They didn't come the same night. They came months later. However long it would take to make a 700-mile journey with primitive transportation, generally people think that they use camels. And so if you can imagine taking your camel and traveling up the river routes and staying along there and then making not simply a straight 500-mile shot there, but making this roundabout trip to come and worship Jesus. And so obviously the wise men arrived much later. We see it evidenced here in the text in verse 11 to notice that when the wise men came, that the Holy Family was then in a house. They came to the house where he was. And we use the word epiphany. Maybe you don't use the word, I don't know, but if you use it in a conversation, it's used to describe that an experience when all of a sudden you understand something that you didn't know before. Maybe even people told you many times. I kind of think of our oldest son who was told many, many times over years that he should be a pastor. And for quite a while, he didn't want to hear it. If you don't want to hear something, you're not going to understand it. And at some point, he had an understanding. All of a sudden, like, it came to him. I used to say, when are you going to understand? You know, what's the magic number? He'd tell me that some person told him he should go to seminary in his church after teaching Sunday school. It's like, are you going to wait? What is it going to be, 75? Is that the magic number before you start to get it? It could have been much higher. But God's got to bring this about in people's lives. And in our passage today, in Isaiah, arise, God says, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. So here's a biblical picture that man in natural condition is living in darkness. And God goes on to say there, see, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over all the peoples. So that's the view of sin and life without God that we see all through the scriptures, darkness. And as the Gospels announce Jesus, you think of the Gospel of John, Jesus is a light that comes into the world. He's a true light. Well, the wise men have an epiphany. They see something other people don't see. And the wise men have an epiphany based on the word of God. Now, who are these guys? The best guess is that they were Persians. They would come from the country of Iran today. If you visit the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem, this basilica, it's a big fortress-like church. And you go there, there was a painting inside the church. The reason it was spared, when the Persians invaded, they came, they saw this picture of their countrymen coming to this place. And they thought, better respect this church, and they spared it. Daniel and friends, you recall, were in Babylon during the captivity of 70 years, when the people of Israel were conquered and their best and their brightest were hauled off to Babylon and under Nebuchadnezzar. And then Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And he thought, just to test his wise men that he had supported and trained to see if they were any good, if they could really interpret the dream, they should be able to tell the king the dream that he had. And wow, that was impossible. But Daniel went and prayed to God, and Daniel told the king the dream and told also the interpretation of the dream. And Nebuchadnezzar put Daniel in charge. Well, as Nebuchadnezzar was revealed in the dream, he was the first kingdom, but the second kingdom that was going to come would be the Medes and the Persians. And they came and they conquered Babylon. Later the Greeks would come, and then the Romans, as was Nebuchadnezzar's dream. But Daniel and his friends are in Babylon. The Medes and Persians were the next kingdom. And so this wisdom and knowledge was in this land of Gentiles. In the Old Testament, there's this prophecy, a strange thing, of Balaam, who is a wicked prophet, who was sent out to curse the people of God. He had this strategic point where he was to look at them, look over them, and pronounce a curse on them. And he tried to do that, but God turned his curse into blessings, and then he prophesied that a star would come out of Jacob, a ruler from Judah. And this was way back during the time of Moses. So the wise men have this scripture. They have this wisdom, and they see the star. And what they demonstrate in coming is that the Gentiles, the nations, remember that Paul talked about this mystery that really, you know, wasn't part of the thinking going on at this point in history, were going to come and be part of the people of God. And so the Gentiles come to worship baby Jesus. And in a sense, there are guys. You know, we may not connect with them. We may think of ourselves, you know, the farmers, rural shepherds, you know, they're our guys. But no, the wise men are our guys. They come from another country, and they have an epiphany that's based on the word of God. And they come. And they're guided by the star. And look at their testimony here. As they come to town, where is the one who's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. And when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. The wise men required further guidance from God's word to reach Jesus. They got as far as Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is almost there. But where were they going to go? Imagine taking this long trip, 700 miles or so, by camel, and they get there, and all of a sudden, there's no direction what to do. And so they go to Jerusalem. It's a capital city. They would know about the king. It was a religious center. The temple was there. All the people that study God's word. And so we see that God's word had to be consulted before the journey could continue. The religious leaders, as they were asked the question by Herod, Herod obviously didn't know. Where was the Messiah to be born? And the prophet Micah had written hundreds of years before that the Messiah would be born at Bethlehem. And so when Herod got this information, he believed it enough to send the wise men to Bethlehem. Now, in the reading here today, they're called the Magi, and I hope you're okay with me calling them the wise men, because, you know, as I made this this connection here to the wise men of Daniel, and they're smart enough to take the information they have from the Old Testament and see the star and come all this way. No matter what you think, they are wise men, right? They are the wise men. And Herod sends them to Bethlehem with this further information from the Word of God. Herod is an actor, of course, as you read further down, as he tells them, I want to worship him too. Well, he didn't like the news when he heard it. He was what the Bible calls an actor, a hypocrite. Let me know where he is so I can go and worship him. And yet all the time, he hated the thought that someone else was going to be on the throne. Herod was not from the line of David. Herod was connected with the Romans, and he hated the thought of the Messiah, much as people do today. A lot of people hate Jesus. They don't know him. They just don't want him in their life. And so we have, after this instruction by Herod, he sends them to Bethlehem. Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so I may go and worship him. And after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east, or it could be translated a little bit differently, the star that they had seen at the dawn, went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Now they have the star reappearing again for the last 6 miles of their journey. Okay? That's how close Bethlehem is to Jerusalem. 6 miles, a measure outside of town here, 6 miles, whatever direction you like to go. That's how far Bethlehem was. And this star led the way. Now, this wasn't a very unusual star. I don't think it's helpful, really, to try to figure stuff out from astronomy. It was from God. And somehow this star led them from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, or in Jerusalem, they could clearly see that their destination was Bethlehem. Well, we need further guidance from God's word in our life journey, don't we, to worship Jesus, just as the wise men did. Presently, we come to worship. It's the word of God that prompts our hymns, our prayers, our listening as a disciple, and our destination is worship of God eternally in the future. And if you're a Christian, it's like, oh, how I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. I want to be there. What a horrible thought to think that we won't be there to sing the praises of God, to worship him. That's how a Christian thinks. And because of that, right now, you want to come to worship. Right now, you get who Jesus is, like the wise men. And the wise men teach us much about the worship of God. We look at this and we get a lot of instruction here. Why not? These people have had an epiphany that God has taught them. We see that the wise men, they come with joy. Verse 10, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. They were gonna get to meet with God. They came with purpose. You know, the only time we hear them talking here is when they come to town. And verse 2, where is the one who's born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. They came with purpose. Why did you come today? I trust you came in the same manner. I've come to worship Jesus. That's in your thinking. You came with purpose. And imagine these guys as they made their trip. And maybe, you know, if you've taken vacations and so forth, you traveled various places, maybe someone that ran the motel, or they might ask you, you know, where are you from? Or someone that you were at table with close by ask you, and you've done business with, you find out, you think of these guys going to these various places in their strange dress. Where are you going? Oh, we're going to worship Jesus. We saw his star in the east. We're going to worship him. When these characters came to Jerusalem, right away, they stood out like a sore thumb. They've come to worship Jesus. Where is he? They came with purpose. And they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Psalm 100, verse 2 tells us that we're to worship the Lord, or a slash there. You can translate the word both worship and serve, which really go together. Worship the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. That's what God wants. He wants us to be happy when we're going to be with him. I think we are when we think about being with our friends or being with family. And now the privilege of being with the Lord. And they have an expectation of being with Jesus. That's our promise as well. Matthew 18, verse 20, that we're even two or three, a small number, are gathered together in the name of Jesus. They come for worship. That Jesus is going to be there with them, with us. In Hebrews 12, when we come to worship, we come to Mount Zion, and we come to Jesus, the writer to Hebrews tells us. And so, with those thoughts in mind, the wise men, wise people, approach with joy. And they come with humility. We see as they come to worship him, they saw the child with his mother Mary, they bowed down and worshiped him. Now, in other passages of Scripture, if this ever happens to any creature, the response is, no, no, don't do it. Only God is worshiped. In the Revelation that we've studied, many of us, we've seen John going to worship an angel. No, no, I'm only a servant of God. Only God is worshiped. And here they worship him, the Lord, the baby Jesus. And it's good, it's right, because he's the Son of God as well as the Son of Man. They bow down, and our posture should acknowledge the kingship of Jesus, whether we're standing, bowing down, kneeling, sitting, no matter what it is, we're doing it with the idea that we're in the presence of Christ. So if you have the privilege of someday visiting the Church of Nativity in Bethlehem, and that entrance to the basilica, that fortress-like church, you won't pass through unless you bow down. They don't have a handicapped entrance there. You have to bow down. We were told one of the tours that the reason for it was to keep the pagan horsemen out of the church, that wouldn't be possible. And so now when you pass through, you bow down, and what an appropriate thing for the church and the Nativity. And so the epiphany that we all need is to know Jesus, who he is, as Lord, Savior, King. Paul says that he has got the position above everyone else. He's got the name above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. The wise men, they bring appropriate gifts. They open their treasures, present him with gifts of gold, of incense and of myrrh, and we'll sing about it in a little bit in the hymn, We Three Kings. A gold was for a king. Incense was used in worship with prayer. Incense for a deity. In other words, the recognition that Jesus was God. So he's king and he's God. And then myrrh. And myrrh was used as a spice for burial. And so the idea here, myrrh for a mortal. It's bitter perfume, the hymn goes. Looking forward to the tomb of Jesus. Now, very appropriate gifts, because as you read further in our passage, past where we stop today, you see that the Holy Family had to go down to Egypt to escape King Herod, who would kill the babies of Bethlehem, all the baby boys of Bethlehem at that time. And so they went down to Egypt for a brief period. And what would you do in a country where you couldn't speak? Hopefully, Joseph was able to get work if he needed it. But in the meantime, you would have this wealth given you and these gifts by which you could get by. And so God provided for the Holy Family in Egypt, where they went next. We look at this and we see the wise men as our guys doing the right thing. And even today, the Apostle Paul tells us, we come to worship, we have to bring stuff. We have to offer ourselves. Isaiah, when he was forgiven by God, it was questioned, who will I send? Who will go for me? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. We must offer ourselves. Paul said, that's what we should do, is our living sacrifice, a reasonable act of worship, remembering all that Jesus has done for us. We must offer our resources. Hebrews tells us we have to share with others. This is what God requires, and this is what the church is about as we think of the missions of the church. The wise men have had an epiphany to come and worship Jesus. And you look at it, you wonder, here they had to leave and go home by another country to not go back to Herod. What did they get out of it? What did they get out of it for themselves? It's hard to put your finger on, isn't it? What did John the Baptist get out of it? For those who are at the baptism of Christ today, as John pointed to Jesus, I'm not the one, but it's Christ. What did they get out of it, the wise men and John the Baptist, who lost his head? That's probably the wrong question, isn't it? What did we get out of it? Out of worship. Well, we have a blessing, that's for certain. But it's not what you get out of it, it's what you bring to it. And what you understand from it. And our purpose in life, our epiphany, is to glorify God. That's what life's about. It's not about ourselves. It's not all centered about us. When we start thinking like that, we're going to get pretty unhappy. It's about God and enjoying Him forever. One of the supreme examples of this was a composer, Bach, who lived in, I'm trying to remember the years now, about 1700, in the 1700s, and he wrote various compositions, and he would end his compositions with the abbreviation SDG, Soli Deo Gloria, glory to God alone. And he would start his compositions writing at the top two letters, JJ, in Latin, Jesu Iuva, Jesus help. It was an invocation that the Lord would come and show him the notes that he could write for God's glory. What a great example of someone making an offering and said, Lord, if you go with me and you help me, and at the end, after making the contribution they did, giving all glory to God. Here's the wise men. They had an epiphany. And today, I trust you know who Jesus is. And a wise response to God revealing His Son is to believe His word. Because God's word is totally reliable and his prophecy is not to be doubted. And the Bible is not just for answers like, okay, where is he to be born? Oh, in Bethlehem. And then the religious people didn't even leave town, didn't even go out 6 miles. Here are the wise men who made the long journey not to be stopped. The Bible is not just for answers, but to show us how to make our journey in life. And so we come on Sunday with the attitude, we've come to worship the King. We've come to worship the King of the Jews. And we come with gladness, a humility, an appropriate offering as God has blessed us. And our epiphany is to know Christ as God has revealed him in Scripture. And so if you have that today, that's where you want to be. And if that's the case, then you should just naturally want to worship him. By faith, trusting God, we make the effort, we make the journey, we bring the offering. And our life is SDG, glory to God alone. Let's pray. Father, give to us an understanding. Turn the lights on. Help us not to be in darkness, but to see our purpose, to see who Jesus is. We pray that we would be his servant. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.